Okay, we want to continue our Sunday school lessons on study of the scriptures. We're in the segment of observation and interpretation. Observation, of course, should lead to a correct interpretation, which is simply what the Bible says. Been looking at observing parts, and it's like taking the pieces of a puzzle and putting them to the side, separating them into groups. This is part of observation, and it's also putting together the framework, the border pieces, the edge pieces of the puzzle. So in observation, we begin to recognize the framework of a verse or a passage of Scripture, and I believe that all verses and passages do have a framework, and it's very helpful to observe that framework, to recognize the framework and keep everything within the framework. And that leads us to, which is part of observing parts, is observing context. Again, a thought is usually expressed in a series of related ideas, words, related ideas. Related ideas is context. Context reflects a writer's overall flow of thought. Again, the Bible isn't just scattered words. There's context. And context provides the framework for each word. You can look at each word, and each word has a framework, and that framework is context. And even context gives us direction on how a word or a sentence should function. Again, a word has a function, a sentence has a function, a paragraph has a function. And it all functions within a framework, which again is context. So what is context? Well, it's the weaving together of words. Just a bunch of words out here and out here mean nothing. You have to put the words together. You have to connect the words. Again, a puzzle. You can scatter the pieces all over the table. It's not putting together the puzzle. You have to connect the pieces. And that's how it is with studying the Word of God. So context is the parts of a discourse that surrounds a word or surrounds a passage of Scripture. It is interrelated conditions in which something exists. Context. Context is what goes before, what follows after. It's the setting. It's the setting in which a passage occurs. And again, context is essential in discovering and arriving at correct understanding. Again, most people who hold to false views, false theology, they base their theology on verses of Scripture. But if you observe, it is Scripture taken out of context. It's a Scripture here. It's a Scripture over here. Much false doctrine is based on the neglect of context. And that's why Paul told Timothy to study to show thyself approved a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, if Scripture can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. And the quickest way to wrongly divide Scripture is to ignore or to be unaware of context. So context, the neglect of context, is a common cause of inaccurate interpretation. I want to give some examples that would show the importance of context. Out of context, Scriptures can be twisted to say just about anything. Out of context. That's true with you and I. It's true everywhere we go. It's true if you're reading a magazine article or a newspaper article. Out of context, you can twist. And we don't want to ever be guilty of twisting Scripture. For example, out of context, one can make the Bible to say that there is no God. Notice in Psalm 14, and again, these examples are extreme, but it just shows the importance of context. Psalm 14 and verse 1 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Again, there's four words there. There is no God. The context of that is, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So the context is, the fool hath said in his heart. But if you ignore context, there is no God. So again, if you disregard context, you can make the Scripture say there is no God. Another example, in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Out of its context, one can make the Bible say that Christ is a deceiver. And one could make it say that Christ even said that he's a deceiver. Matthew 24, verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, the contextual setting of those words is, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So again, out of context, the Bible can be made twisted to say there is no God. Out of context, the Bible can be twisted to say that Christ shall deceive many. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, again, this shows the importance. These are extreme examples, but it shows the importance of context. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ," that's the saved who have passed on, "are perished." The word perished means destroyed. They are perished or destroyed. So out of context, the Bible can be made to say that there is no resurrection of the saints of God. They which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But the context of that is found back in verse 14. "And if Christ be not risen," that's the context. The context is, if Christ be not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then those who are saved and have gone on, they're not going to rise either. That's the context. The context is of the utmost importance. We cannot neglect context. Again, these are extreme examples of taking a word or a phrase out of its context. But they do illustrate the great danger of doing so. The great danger of just ignoring context. So, part of observation, and a very important part of observation in studying the Word of God, is to observe context. To always observe context. Another example, and you and I just know these things, but a single word or sentence can have various meanings depending upon the context in which it is used. There are many words in the English language, many words in any language, that have various meanings. What is it that determines the meaning of a word? If a word can have two or three or four meanings, what is it that determines how that word is used, what is meant by that word? Context. Context determines that. For example, in 1 Samuel 17, the word bear, B-E-A-R, can be a noun, speaking of an animal. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, and David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Now the word bear has other meanings also, which we'll look at here in a minute. But how do we know how this word is used? How do we know here? Well, context. He's mentioning animals. B-E-A-R. It's an animal. Now in Galatians chapter 6, we read that we are to bear, B-E-A-R, same word, one another's burdens. Now it's a verb. It's not a noun, it's a verb. But how do we know? Context. The meaning of the word is determined by context. The usage of the word is determined by context. Another example, the word free. The word free can be used to mean without charge, Romans 5, verse 15. And it can be used meaning independence, not bound or confined, as it's used in Galatians chapter 5, in verse 1. But how do we know if the word is... it means without charge, or if the word means an independence or not bound or confined? How do we know that? Spelled the same, pronounced the same, so how do we know? Context. I mean, we observe context. We do this every day when we read something. We just know. And the reason we know is because of context. Again, the usage of a word, the meaning of a word, is determined by context. So when we observe scriptures, we must observe context. The word light, L-I-G-H-T, can be used meaning the opposite of dark. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and here in this chapter, we see the word used, in the same word used two completely different meanings. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. So light here is used to be the opposite of dark. But then drop down to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. There the word, very same word, the very same word that sometimes means the opposite of dark, here means the opposite of heavy. Completely different meaning. But it's the same word, spelled the same, pronounced the same. So how do we know? Context. Again, this shows us the importance of context. Context determines usage. It determines meaning. It determines function. Context. The word rose. R-O-S-E. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35. Verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Speaking of a flower. But that's not the only meaning of the word rose. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. It's used as past tense of rise, to get up. So, very same word, spelled the same. Pronounced the same, in one place means a flower, in another place means to rise. Two completely different meanings. Two completely different usages. So once again, how do we know? How do we know which meaning? How do we know how the word is used? Context. Context. Some words share the same spelling, but differ in pronunciation and differ in meaning. For example, the word close, C-L-O-S-E, means to shut. You close the door, you shut the door. And it's used that way in Amos chapter 9 in verse 11. But the same word, spelled the same, but has a different pronunciation. The word close, spelled the same way as the word close, but pronounced completely different. Well, how do you know how to pronounce it? How do you know which word to use? Again, the word close there in Acts 27, verse 13. How do we know? Context. So you see, we know a lot. We do it every day. We know a lot by context. And it's so important that we observe context in the Word of God. The word B-O-W can be pronounced bow, when used as a weapon, Genesis 27, verse 3. And it can mean, and it can be pronounced bow. Very same, the same spelling, B-O-W in both cases. Pronunciation is completely different. And the word bow meaning, of course, the bending of the head or the body. And we see that word used throughout the Scriptures. But in Genesis chapter 27, the word bow is used in Genesis 27:3. The very same word, B-O-W, is used in Genesis 27:29, but there it's bow. How do we know? Context. Context. The word suffer. And that's a word that has a little different usage in the Word of God as we use it today. But the word suffer is used very many times in the Word of God to mean to permit or to allow. Matthew chapter 3. We see also it can mean to be in misery. They that suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Two completely different meanings. Two completely different usages. What is it that determines the meaning? What is it that determines the usage? What is it that determines the pronunciation? Context. So from all of this, we see the importance of context. Next week, we want to look the Bible. Context is a built-in dictionary. I'm not opposed to getting a Bible dictionary. Use them all the time myself. But, that being said, it's not a necessity. It's not a necessity. Just like a concordance isn't a necessity, but I'll tell you what, a concordance sure does save a lot of time. And sure does make things a lot easier. But if you stay within context and you have question about a meaning of a word, almost always in the King James Version of the Bible, that word is explained. That word is defined. Context serves as a dictionary. So again, the importance, one of the things we need to observe is context. Observe context. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've given us to be in your house. We thank you, Lord, that you've put it in the hearts of thy people to be in your house. And Lord, we do thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless your word today as it goes forth, that you would speak to our hearts, those that are saved, that you draw us closer to thee. Lord, those that are lost, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and open their hearts to salvation. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to honor and glorify you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.